Morning. In case y'all wondering what the backup quarterback's doing here, up here. Yesterday I was in God's country, that's North Louisiana, in case y'all wondering. I was in the woods hunting, and reception is really bad. But I got a message from Andrew and said he was unable to talk. As hard as that is to believe, okay? As hard as that is to believe, he told me he was unable to talk, that he has two abscessed teeth this morning, and his jaw is really, really swollen, and it's hard for him to be able to speak. And I know he went to the doctor, and I think he's got an antibiotic shot to try to help relieve the infection or whatever it is that's in there. But the key is let's keep Andrew in our prayer, because he is important to us here, and we truly need to keep him in our prayers. As a matter of fact, let's bow now and have a prayer for him. Our gracious Father, thank you for all that you have blessed us with. Father, you've blessed us with a great church. You've blessed us, Father, with a wonderful ministry staff here, deacons and elders. Father, we are just truly, truly blessed with all the many things. Father God, this morning our brother Andrew is not well. He's in a lot of pain. He's not really feeling well. We ask, Father God, for your healing. Not just feel better, but Father God, heal him of this pain and suffering that he's going through, that he can get the problem that is there fixed. I just ask that you be with him right now and give him peace and give him comfort. And I ask for your healing and your graces to be with him and Janae. Father, we just ask for your mercy for each one of us here today. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, as we approach the holiday season, I know Andrew and I got together and we're planning a sermon series on looking at Christmas through the eyes of people that was involved. Have you ever looked at a nativity scene? You know what you see? People. Because Christmas is about people for people. You know, and I think a lot of times we lose focus of that it's about people. It's about humanity. It's about humans. It's about God restoring people. And through that birth, the restoration is there. Forgiveness is there. And a lot of times we forget that one single birth and what it truly means and the meaning behind it. But I think we lose that and transition somewhere because I think a lot of times we fail to understand God's purpose. And I think we fail to understand certain things about God. You know, was it Hosea 4:6? Does it say that God says, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge? You know, and a lot of times we are, as even as Christians, a lot of times the lack of knowledge hinders the things that we do or the understanding that we have. And I think one of the greatest needs that we have as Christians or as the human race is to have understanding. And I think a lot of times we really fail from that. And Andrew kind of touched on this a couple of weeks ago. I think we fail to understand the love of God. You know, too many times we focus and we kind of picture God as this enforcer that is just waiting to just wait for you to mess up so he can destroy you or that he can say, I got you. But we fail to realize that really God is classified as love. And as we truly view over the next few weeks, unfolding the birth of Christ and all those that are involved in it, we will truly understand the love of God because it will be displayed in that portion. But I think this morning, the one thing that we need to do is we need to understand God. And when we start to understand things about God, we understand why God does the things that he does. You know, and we can understand why he had this birth take place. Now, if I ask you this morning, you don't have to answer this, but how important is first impressions? First impressions are very important, isn't it? Because they're usually lasting, isn't it? You know, when we first, a lot of times we try to dress and act a certain way to impress. You've been on a job interview, I mean, you're going to do everything you can to impress, or you want to impress someone, because they, you know that your first impression will usually be the one that they base everything on. So what is your first impression of God? And I know for me, my first impression of God would help me to understand so much is because when I started to understand God's purpose, then I started to understand why the things are done sometimes the way that they are. You know, I want us to look this morning at my first impression of God. And the reason I'm doing this is to kick off this sermon series. I want to get an understanding about God, Okay, and about the whole thing that is involved in that. And then we can be able to, as things unfold, it will start to fit in. Let's look at Genesis 1, chapter 1. If we're going to get an impression of God, we need to start where? In the very beginning, right? And see what my impression is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. You know what my first impression of God is? He's a creator. He's a creator. That's what he does. What does creators do? They take something that is nothing, and they make something out of it. They can take totally nothing and make something useful and something of great purpose from it. Creators also take things that are broken, things that have been broken and pieces missed, and they take that broken and they help to put it back together in a way that is meaningful and can be used as a purpose. Also, they take things that have been discarded and they make something useful out of it. You ever seen a great artist, they take nothing, something that is someone has thrown away, someone has discarded and said it's no longer of use to me, and they take that and they make something beautiful out of it, and they make something that people just go in awe over? That's who God is. That's what he does. He's a creator. He takes these things that have been discarded and he makes great things out of it. Now, God may not be creating planets anymore. I don't know. He hadn't told me. Oh, I hadn't read it. He may be creating planets, stars, animals, all these great things. I don't know. But I know he's still at work to this very day doing the things that he does, and that's creating. He's still creating to this very day. He's still at work creating life and those who have lost their lives. He is creating that which does not have life. He takes that which has been discarded, and he makes something useful out of it. All we have to do is look around. All we have to do is look around. Let's look at John chapter 5 and let's see. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." So that tells me is God is still at work to this very day. What is he doing? He's creating. What is he creating? He's creating the things that are broken. He's healing people. He's doing what a creator does. And believe it or not, that all took place in when we're going to see as we go on, what made that possible was the birth of a small child. And as we see later on this morning, we're going to really be surprised that we see what he does with just the love of a child. And let's look at Luke chapter 4. Let's see what he's doing. Let's see what he's creating. He's still creating to this day. Let's see what he's doing. He went to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogues, as it was his custom. He stood up and read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recover sight for the blind and set the oppressed free to proclaim the year of the Lord forever." Now, let's look at this. See, the word poor, you know what the definition of poor is? To have an insufficient amount of. Okay? If you have an insufficient amount of money, you're what? You're poor. You know, I was raised on a farm, animals that was skinny, we called them, they was poor. Why? They had an insufficient amount of weight. So he says, "The Spirit is Lord upon me, because I've come to proclaim good news to those who have an insufficient amount of something. Those that have been discarded. Whoever has an insufficient amount of something, whether it's faith, whether it's love, whatever it is that we have that deficiency of," he said, "I come to proclaim and tell the good." What is the good news? The birth of what? Christ. He said, "I come to proclaim that to those who have an insufficient. I have come to proclaim freedom for the prisoners." And I teach at jail. And when I get there Monday, you know what? They still going to be there. They ain't went nowhere. So what does he mean? Whatever is imprisoning you, whether it's an addiction, whatever sin is imprisoning you, whether it's anger, whether it's greed, whether it's lust, whatever is imprisoning you, he said, "I come to set you free." And he said, "I recover sight to the blind." Now, he did help the blind see, yes. But what he's telling us here, the things that we don't see, the things that we don't understand. How many people you know have a veil over their face where they don't see, they don't understand? He said, "I come to help you be able to remove that so you can see, so you can have understanding. And to set the oppressed free. Whether you oppress, degress, regress, or whatever grass you are," he said, "I come to free you from that." You can make up whatever word you want in society. He said, "I come to free you from all of that." See, so we see that birth is to, to free you, to set you free from oppression, to bring good news to those that has been discarded, so things can be created from something that was nothing. Give us a whole new meaning, doesn't it? When we allow him, he will create, we create in us something new. Jesus is at work to this day filling the voids that's in our life. This is how we are restored. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world through himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though Christ was making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, the new creation. He's come to create, recreate each and every one of us. You see, God has a plan. Everything with God is a plan. God doesn't just do things on a whim. Everything with God is a plan. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change anything. And when God creates, I see the same measure in play. Let's look back at Genesis chapter 1. We'll look at verse 2 and 3. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. See, where there is darkness in our lives, he brings light so we can see. Have you ever been lost in the dark? Have you ever wandered in the dark? You know how fearful that is? What it's like to be in prison? And that is very scary, isn't it? It's a bad place to be. And we see people lose their lives from being imprisoned in darkness, don't we? We see all kind of horrible things happen to when you're imprisoned in darkness. And when God created, he gives us a light so that we can see. See, that's what life is like without God. You're in the light or you're in the darkness. You see, and those that are in darkness, that are wandering around, that are lost. And when you're in darkness, you don't know why you do the things you do. We don't understand that. Why do we keep doing the same thing over again? Why we keep stumbling? Why we do this stuff all the time? Why is this? Why? Because we're in darkness. You can't see. So, and when he created the earth, when he formed it together, he said, I got to be able to. So we have to be able to see. Let's look at Proverbs 4:19. But the ways of the wicked is like deep darkness. They don't know what makes them stumble. We walking around not knowing what makes us do the things we do because we're in darkness. Let's look at John chapter 8. Well, how do we remedy that? When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I'm the light of the world. All over, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never. That's a strong word, isn't it? Never. Will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, creation, he creates, he gives us a light. What is our light? It comes in the form of a child. It comes in the form of a child born in a manger. And through that was the light of the world. See, when I was walking in darkness and I didn't have Jesus in my life, I didn't have any answers. I couldn't accept anything. I couldn't see or hear God. I couldn't really grasp what was right or wrong. I couldn't distinguish what was wise and what was foolish. Do you realize when God brought all the plagues on Egypt, you know what one of the plagues were? Darkness. Think about that. He brought darkness upon them for what? 3 days, I think it was? Why? Because it's fearful, isn't it? It's horrible. Let's look at Exodus chapter 10, verse 21 through 23. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky so that darkness spreads over Egypt. Darkness that can be what? Felt. You see, darkness can be felt, can't it? That separation, that unability, it can be felt. And he said, that's what I come to remove. I got a light so you can see all of that. Darkness spread over Egypt. Darkness can be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and total darkness covered all Egypt for 3 days. Yeah, it was three. No one could see anyone else or move about for what? 3 days. Imprisoned, you see? And then look, but yet all the Israelites had lights where they lived. They could move around and move freely. And see, that's our will. When we are light, we can move around. We're able to see. We have that. He said, that's what I've come to do. See, I have moments in my life where I don't know what to do. I have moments in my life where I may veer off a little bit. I have moments that I don't have understanding. I have moments that I don't always do right. But you know what? I have a light that shows me exactly where to go. But when I'm in darkness, I don't know where to go. I stumble and I don't know why. But I have a light. And that light will always direct me back where I need to be. It'll always pinpoint me right exactly on the path that needs to be led. And trust me, it'll keep shining, trust me. It'll keep pulling and tugging and show you exactly where you need to be. You know, I'm going to share something with y'all that really impacted me years ago. And y'all remember 9/11, I'm sure we all do. I remember as I was watching it, something struck me, okay? And as I watched, as horrible as it was, when I watched those planes fly into those buildings, you know what come to mind? I said, you know, those that are on board, that are living in darkness, will have to spend eternity with the same people that killed them. Think about that. Where's the justice? You know, I said, they're going to spend eternity with the same people that killed them. Can you imagine that? But that's darkness, you see. It can be felt. You see, we have the light. We have the light of the world. That we do not worry about. We don't have to worry about never being able to see where we need to go. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. For God who said, let light shine out of where? Out of darkness. Made his light shine in our hearts and gives us the light of knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, because we always have a light. Just when he created and he got the light. And you know what happened when God created light? Let's look at verse 6. Let's turn back to Genesis 1. Look at verse 6. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, let the waters under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. So God called the dry ground land, and gathered waters, and he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Now God created, when he created earth, think about this. And the next thing he did was put light. And what did he see? A bunch of chaos. Didn't he? It was a mess, wasn't it? You got water mixed with water. You got sky mixed with water. You got all this stuff together. And you know, a lot of times when we receive the light, what do you see? You see all the chaos, don't you? And it can be frightening, can't it? It can be very scary. I have a creator. What does he do? Let him create. What does he do? He separates, doesn't he? He takes all that chaos and he does what? Puts it in order, doesn't he? He starts to organize our lives, doesn't he? This goes here, that goes there. And he starts organizing all these different things. He turns chaos into order. He separates what needs to be spread. He sets boundaries. He organizes and places things where they need to be. He brought life light first so we could see that. Is there chaos in your life? There's things in your life that are just, and we can't say, if you live in a perfect life, I need to talk with you. I need your help. Because we all struggle, don't we? Let's admit it. We all do. We're all here for a reason this morning, aren't we? We're all here because we need something. We need Jesus, people. We need spirituality. We need that light. We need to be able to organize the things in our life that are causing us chaos. We have sicknesses. We have deaths in families. We have just life. I have a vague recollection of life wasn't kicking me in the face. You know, we have life, and it can be hard at times, isn't it? And we have these struggles that we deal with. And Satan, because we are in the light, Satan tries his best to drag us into darkness. He tries very hard. After we have the light, we need God to help us organize, to create things in our life to put us where we need to be. Very important, isn't it? Sometimes God's creation, everything God creates, as I said earlier, has a cause. and it has a purpose. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. God gives us our lives back. God gives you life. When you're in darkness, you have no life, trust me. We have the light, God gives us our life. God gives us a life. He's a giver of life. God doesn't create junk. God does not create junk. Everything he created is great. But sometimes, you know, along the way, we get broken. And along the way, sometimes we get displaced or disformed in certain ways. And God takes that. And some of us, and I deal with it every day, have been discarded from the world. Have been totally discarded, put to the side. God takes that, and it's amazing what he can do with those things. He can take the defects in our life, and he can smooth them over and make them into something great. He can create in us new things. And when we struggle, look what he does. Let's look at Ezekiel. This may be Ezekiel writing, but this is God talking, isn't it? This is God. Look what he said. I will give you what? Give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of... When we struggling with that anger, that pain, or whatever we have, he said, I can give you a new heart. I take away that hard heart, because a heart of stone is a hard heart. He said, I can take away that hardness that's in your heart, and I will give you a heart of flesh, it's soft, and I will give you life. See, that's what he does. A whole new, when you change your spirit and your heart, you know what else changes with you? Everything. Everything. You know, I see it all the time. You don't have to, you know, I hear him say, well, I wish you'd learn how to dress. I wish you'd learn how to talk. You change the heart, the outside changes on its own. You don't need to address that. You teach them this, and the rest changes on its own. It just does. I don't know how to explain it, because it's of God. That's creating, isn't it? When we see that, and people tear their testimonies and all these different things, and all that come because of what we're fixing to talk about in the birth of a child, and how that birth and how it grew, and how through that, with God, everything is about humanity, isn't it? Everything is. It's about humanity. It's about the love of man. You see, it's about restoring fallen man, isn't it? And that's God's tool to help to restore fallen man. See, that's what it's all about, isn't it? And as we look at it in the next coming week, it's all about God wanting to take us and using that light to help us to see and to help us to be formed and grow into the people that he's called us to be. It's amazing, isn't it? Something so simple, we make so hard. Something that's so easy to understand, we make it complicated. Something that is so full of love, we make it not of love. Heart of stone becomes a heart of flesh. That's creating, isn't it? That is our God. That's what he does. That's his whole idea of mankind. This morning, if you have a need this morning and you feel that you need to be recreated by God, or you need to be reformed, or you need to start fresh, the waters of baptism wait this morning. We can come and we can take on Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior this morning. And if we need prayer, if we have just maybe veered off the path and maybe the light has helped to push you back, and we need prayer and we need people to understand you're in the right place, because we will. Because we're all just a bunch of sinners that depend on the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace that he has for us and the mercies to get us where we need to be. None of us here are perfect. None of us here has any right to look at someone any other way than through the eyes of forgiveness, because that's what God is. So this morning, if you have that need and you feel that need this morning, please make it known. Please come and allow us to pray with you, or to allow you to become a child of God as we stand and Brett leads us in a song of invitation.